Welcome to What the Fog, the podcast.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Michelle. And we love to have honest, open,
and often ridiculous conversations
about all things midlife,
usually over coffee.
And we'd love you to join us.
There'll be cringy moments.
There'll be tears.
There'll be raw moments.
But there'll be plenty of laughs too.
Oh, definitely laughs.
So if you're a woman of a certain age, come and join our conversation as we talk about
health,
beauty,
music,
books,
fashion,
and of course, our fog moments.
So grab your favourite cuppa,
get comfy,
and let's chat.
Oh, hello everybody, it's Michelle and I've got my bestie.
Oh, it's Lou here, girls. I just said to Michelle before, I said this is podcast 16, isn't it? And she corrected me. Rightly so, because it's not. We have a podcast 16, but that's an expert podcast, isn't it?
It is. Watch this space.
Yes. So this is 17. Yeah. I can't believe we're already on 17.
Oh, gosh. I just don't know where it's gone. And that's in 18 months?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that doesn't sound a lot to most people, but for us, it doesn't have much time.
Anybody who's watching us, well, you're not watching us today, you're listening to us, will know that we just squeeze this in our spare time. So we do our best to get one every month out to you. So if you're listening, thank you. And before I dive in, and Michelle dives in like we always do, we're going to say a huge thank you to two fantastic girls who have bought us virtual coffees, in inverted commas, and it's Emma S. and Claire. So thank you for that. That's going to keep us going for another month, hopefully.
Yeah, and that's, you know, just to reiterate, we don't charge for anything, we don't sell anything, we don't get any funding, so we can only carry on doing this with our own money, which we put in, and little donations in the form of virtual coffees via Buy Me a Coffee. There's always a link somewhere, so have a look for it, from our lovely community.
Yeah, and we were saying this as well earlier before we jump in on what we want to talk about, that the more you talk to us, If you feel like social media is too open, and I understand that, then just email us. It's completely private, isn't it? Our Facebook page is very private as well. It's just
it's a private group, so it's really.
And if you need any advice or help or support, then please get in touch that way. But yeah, we feel sometimes we're talking and talking, and we'd love you to get just.
We need your support and your input, and we know that you've joined the community for support and information, everything. We do our best to get all of that to you, but we need you as well, because communities are only good as the people in them and the stuff they share. So when we ask for you to share your experiences and things, it's really valuable for us as well as everybody else in the community,
because again, going off
kilter, well, we do, like we, they know, do. That you know that, don't you?
You know, I'm an atrocious sleeper, and I used to be an amazing sleeper up until the whole perimenopause, and then it got its own back. But because of a lovely lady sharing it in the group last week, it's prompted me to buy some CBD oil with THC. And if she hadn't have made the effort to put a comment in there, then I wouldn't have done that.
You'd never have known about it.
I wouldn't. And because of that, I took it the first time last night. And I don't really want to say it out loud.
Careful.
I'm not saying it out loud. I'm just going to let you girls, you're in my brain. I know you're with me. So I'm just going to say, I'm giving a little bit of a high five, and I'm just going to feed.
Maybe a mid five.
A mid five, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
a mid five.
Not a biggie, but you might say, oh, she's a bit excitable. Yeah. So I'm just going to leave it like that till the next podcast.
Yeah, we'll review it next time.
But what I'm trying to say is, because of that lady sharing that, I wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah, so, and people have shared articles that have led us to more information as well, and we're putting together a resources page, all our favourite places to go for information that we'll put on the website as well. So that, it all helps with that as well. And just, you know, like we do here on the podcast, just sharing real experiences and being brave enough to be a bit, well, that's my theme this month with my client group, by the way, bravery and courage. So you'd be brave enough to speak out and speak up and ask for help if you need it and share your experience. We will be so grateful.
Oh, we will. We will. And we love interacting. And there's ladies are from all over the world. So when we get a message from somewhere far, far away, that's fantastic. Yeah.
And it's always nice to hear that you don't think we're just idiots rambling on to ourselves.
Yeah. That's true. Just into the ether, and no one's listening to us.
Is there anybody out there? Anyway, on to nicer things.
Anyway, we're going to do a recap from last month. You know, we were both going on holiday. I'll do a quick jump in and tell you what happened with me, and then Michelle can tell you about hers. But I went away. Oh, you know, I lost my glasses. Well, when I came back off from a holiday, I went to the supermarket and had to do a quick sharp turn, and they flew from under the seat after I'd picked the new ones up and paid £120. And I looked under the seat, but it must have been lodged somewhere. So I did have a little smile to myself. I thought, it's the fog. Everything turns up eventually.
I have to say, I find all sorts in my car lodged behind, you know, the little lever that pulls your seat back and forwards underneath. Things get trapped behind there all the time. Oh. It's like the little goblin's hidey place in the car.
I wonder what else is under there. I must check.
There won't be any £50 notes, that's for sure, will there? Nothing that exciting.
No. Went on a holiday and I did a huge fog and it impacted for about 4 days. I'm really conscious of putting a high factor on my skin now because in the 20s and 30s, there was no factor, was it? It was slap any old...
Oil
on Hawaiian Tropic Zero Factor.
Oh, Ambisolet.
I had this Nivea like thick treacle that I used to put on.
Ooh,
in Ibiza, I'm caking myself in this stuff.
We're basically deep frying ourselves, weren't we?
And I really burnt myself on my chest and top of my arms. Anyway, so now I'm factor 50 everywhere, and it does take me ages to start getting brown. So it was the second week. So arms were brown, soft pop. 50 on the body, and I thought I'll put 30 on my arms. And that was it. And at 5 o'clock, when I came in out of the sun, my husband said, Lou, your arms are really burnt. And I had forgotten to put cream on me. How can you forget at 54?
Well, there was a reason you forgot, though, wasn't there?
What was it?
Didn't somebody knock on the door when you were...
It was, the lady came to change the bed. So, yeah, that was it. So and when I say burn, and I mean burn, like you touch them in the wet.
Pain.
Oh, and I didn't have... All my clothes were sleeveless on holiday. So I went out this one evening with this random outfit on that you wouldn't believe. I swear to God. And Carl looked at me and he said... it's not really looking good, that is it? I went, no, but we've got to go out and have something to eat. And I could feel, I felt everyone was looking at me, you know, like, because it wasn't a full sleeve and I could still see the bright red. Anyway, I won't be doing that again in a hurry.
And you were like the Ready Brett girl with that glow of radiating heat.
People were doing, like, stopping and turning around as I was going down the street saying,
No, they were. You just thought they were.
Yes, that was that. And then we came back and 2 days after it got hit with COVID. Like you wouldn't believe as well. And that wiped me out for 2 full weeks off work. And it was a frightening experience.
Yeah.
Anybody's had it completely. Oh, God, it was scary. And it still left me really tired.
Yeah.
Is this our second week after it now, or third week?
I'm in week 3 of recovery now, so you'll be in week 4. So, because we both got it. I'll tell you that in a minute. But,
so, Michelle, it was awful that. So that was a bit of a... Came back on the Friday and I was
bit of an anticlimax.
I know. In bed on the Sunday. So no tan now, it's all completely gone. Anyway, so Michelle can give a
mine was no less eventful, was it? And so I managed to, I think it was day one. I've got to get straight in the sea. That's me. It's my thing. Got to get on the beach, get in the sea. Lovely sandy beach. Stayed well away from, I'm talking about, 800 feet away from any stony bits. So in I go. Lovely. Had a little swim. Came out. I managed to find the only rock, just still in the sea as you're coming out, in like 500 yards radius, and smashed my toe into it on the way out of the sea. Swelled up middle toe, all black and blue. Could hardly walk.
Really?
Day one. Hello. Welcome.
We're not really geared up to leave the country, are we?
No, just shouldn't be allowed out, should we at all? Anyway, I just had to laugh because I've actually done that before.
Have you?
I've done that before. I have a bit of a smashing my middle toe fetish, obviously. I've done it quite a few times.
On the same foot?
Yes, I think so. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I've just obviously got a bit of a love-hate relationship with my middle toe on my right foot.
You need to go and walk with those little shoes on next time.
Yeah, little jelly shoes. Yeah. Yeah, I've got some of those.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think I'd like some of them.
They are very useful, because, but they're quite heavy to carry in your luggage. That's the only problem.
Yeah, because the sand is so hot as well, isn't it?
Sand was blistering my feet, yeah, because we were both in different parts of Spain, weren't we? Yeah. We weren't away together, by the way.
No.
We were texting each other going, oh my God, how hot is this? Oh. It's just... You could barely move, could you?
Was it 40 degrees one day?
40, yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
When you're, well, by our age group as well, it's, you realise...
Double trouble. God, horrendous.
Oh, yeah. And then you come back and you...
And I come back and, so you came back a bit before me, I think, a few days before me. And then I managed a week, but it was a busy week, lots going on. And then, bang, from nowhere... COVID, and it's so frustrating because I managed to avoid it for 2.5 years.
Yeah, me too.
We've got great little regimes. We've never managed to avoid it all that time. And then it completely floored me. I've never known anything like it. I lost at least 24, if not 36 hours. I don't remember at all.
Yeah.
And still now, so I'm week 3 post COVID. And still don't feel right. I've got no energy. I could fall asleep standing up.
Yeah.
I can't get the air through my chest, in my lungs and things. Still really kind of phlegmy. That's not a nice thing to talk about,
it's
real.
Yeah.
So a bit coughy. And yeah, just generally feel a bit crap.
It was awful. My teeth hurt.
Everything hurt.
My front teeth. I swear for about 3 days, I kept thinking, oh my God, my teeth are killing me.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I'd been... I don't know, beaten up.
Yeah.
You know, as well as every other symptom, sore throat.
Did it work its way through your body? Because it started with me with, I never get headaches, started with a headache. And then everything else started to ache and then it worked its way up. My stomach was a bit dodgy and then it was my chest and my throat and everything. It just worked its way all the way through, basically.
Yeah. It was like next... In fact, it was like the menor symptoms of COVID, because I think we must have had about 20-odd different symptoms.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those there are.
Yeah.
Because the menopause symptoms are going up by the day, aren't they? Yeah. It's about 37 now. I think it was 34 when we started.
It is. I bet in another couple of years it'll be about 50 or 100.
God, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, we're on the... The mend, thank God, and I really do not want to get that again.
No, and we couldn't get the podcast out, could we? Because we just couldn't. You really didn't want to hear from us in that state.
Well, to go to bed for me for 4 days solid is unheard of. And not even want to do anything and just lie there staring at the ceiling.
Yeah. So. And but you know, actually, that's not how you want it to happen. But for me, there was a massive wake-up call there because I thought I could not do anything. I couldn't move. So I was exactly that, lay staring at the ceiling, drinking water, sipping water.
Yeah.
And I realised how healing that is to just stop and do nothing. Mm. It's the only way to really heal.
It's true.
And emotionally as well as... physically, and we never ever ever allow ourselves to do that, do we? So I am going to do more. If anybody knows the comedian Mickey Flanagan, who I love, he does a whole sketch about this, and I'm not going to swear on the podcast because we don't do that, it's not sweary, but look up if you can find the clip of him talking about lying, doing nothing. And he says he just literally, you know, his wife says to him, he's lying on the couch staring at the ceiling, and his wife says, what are you doing? And he says, nothing. And she said, well, I know, but what are you thinking about? And he said, nothing. And he said, I am literally doing nothing. But he doesn't say that.
Oh, we need to. Well, it's so, so weird. This is why I love doing podcasts, because we just come in and we start talking. And this is what's happening. This morning, my husband showed me this Reddit or thing, this guy. And it was exactly that. And he was just saying, basically... If you got knocked down by a bus tomorrow, your boss would replace you.
Yeah.
If you, I don't know, all these things. Anyway, and it just kept saying, do nothing. Just do nothing. Relax. Don't think about anything. Just have time for yourself. And this is a man. We say it all the time.
Yeah.
But and the more he was saying it, we were true, because my sister says to me, doing nothing is doing something. Yeah. And it's so right.
Because you're healing.
You're healing.
And recuperating.
And when you're well, you're giving your brain time to think, I'd really like to do that I've never done, or I'd really like to go to that place, or I'd really need to see that friend I've not seen for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you give yourself time to think of nice things, don't you?
Yeah.
But lying, my new favourite thing is when I don't have work or at the weekend, at least to go and lie on my bed.
Oh, yeah.
And either just... I don't know, paint. I don't even paint nails really, but maybe give them a little bit of a file or just lie there.
I think we need to do more just lying, staring at the ceiling. I'm going to find that Mickey Flanagan.
Flanagan.
Ah, Freudian. Well, it's a good job it's a women's group. Yeah. Isn't it? Mickey Flanagan clip. And put it in our private Facebook group. So go on over and have a look. I'm going to find it.
And let us know what your favourite doing nothing is. I think I've said this before. I used to work with a lady and I was like mid-30s and she was my age and she worked part-time. And I'd say, what are you doing this afternoon? And she said, oh, I'm going home. And I'm putting my, I want to say sarong and it's not a sarong. What a lovely
kimono.
Kimono. This is why Michelle's great. She's my other half.
We're each other's prompts, aren't we?
At work, and I always imagine it was like the one from Shirley Valentine, that film.
Do you know,
yeah, he gives her that kimono to take on holiday with her, and she says, I put this on and I go into my bedroom and I light a candle and I just lie down and I might read a book or whatever, and I think, oh wow. But a 30-odd-year-old thinks that might be slightly boring because we'd think, I want to go shopping or I want to meet a friend.
Yeah.
But now that is my idea of total heaven.
Yeah,
it's any free time is just to lie on my bed.
I like to just go and, because you know I love walking, not hikey walking, I just like to be outdoors and walking. And I call it my fresh air bath. And I go and it's a head clearer. So if my head gets a bit woozy or I'm a bit overwhelmed or a bit stressed, I'll just go out and walk. And I'll just sit on a bench somewhere and I'll just listen. And I used to do that as a little girl with my dad. We used to walk everywhere because we never had a car. So we used to walk everywhere. And I've kind of forgotten most of this. He'd tell me what all the plants were and what all the trees were and make me listen to the birds and tell me which birds they were. And I'd forgotten all that, but it's all starting to come back to me now because I'm taking time to just sit and notice.
It's true.
And it looks to everybody else that's passing me as if I'm doing absolutely nothing. But I'm healing and absorbing and relearning. And so, yeah, it's so important. We shouldn't get too philosophical.
I used to drive, because I drive an hour to work in the morning and an hour home. And I used to come home, change my comfies and go downstairs. But now I come home, put my comfies on, and then I just lie down for only 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Because I've said to my husband, I said, I just need to decompress a little bit now.
Yeah.
And then I'm fine. Or if I'm in, like you, in the weekend, if I'm at home, I'll sit outside, have a cup of tea outside for 10-15 minutes or something. Or even hanging the washing out. It's such a kind of...
It's a therapeutic thing.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. Like you said, just listening to birds singing. If you're out, if you do have a little garden, I know it's a luxury, but it's...
But even just to open the window, if you've got flat, you know, you can always hear something.
That's it.
Not just traffic. Oh, I'll tell you the other thing I've started doing.
What?
I don't know if anybody else can relate to this. So I love listening to music in the car. I'm driving. Sometimes I'm really in the mood to ramp it up high and sing along. But sometimes I just want to turn everything off.
Yeah.
And I just want the windows up and I want silence.
Yeah. Turn it down. Turn to the
left. Yeah, just turn it off.
Yeah, I'm like that. I do like a bit of quiet now. Not for a long time, but definitely just that.
It's just that healing moment,
isn't
it?
Silence is golden.
They won't recognise that song from what we just did, will they? But talking of trips and silence and needing that time on your own and everything, you were saying that you noticed when you were away, lots of ladies around our age holidaying alone. Not that smooth, but you know.
No, she's right. I did, and I was thinking, oh, I like this. It kind of gave me an idea for something. But at least 3 times, so as in, we were in 6 years in Spain, and then we were for the 5 days in Barcelona, and I noticed that both, there was a lady in our hotel, and she was only in her 30s, was solo, I used to see her every day around the pool or at the beach and eating on her own. And I wanted to go and talk, and I thought, no, that's might be intrusive. I mean, I used to say morning, but you don't know whether you're need, you know what I mean?
Whether she just wants that time on her own, yeah.
And then there was twice in Barcelona, different restaurants in the evening, would sit down and a lady would sit, one restaurant she was on her own, ordered a meal, had a wine and then left. And then the other day was at lunchtime, a lady again on her own. And probably they were more like our age, 50-ish.
Hmm.
And it made me think, ooh, now then, is this because a lot of women choose to holiday on their own? Or maybe the friends are all married and they haven't got anybody to go away with? And I think it's, I have travelled on my own. I've never stayed away on my own. But and my a really good friend of mine has, and she's going to come on and talk about that.
Yeah, she's going to share. She's a sharer.
So, yeah, I think let us know if you've done that and if you just love it. Do you love the independence? You don't have to answer to anybody else. And
Well, I used to love it when I was younger. So I'd say between, oh, God, I can't even remember, like late teens, early 20s, or all the way through my 20s probably. I used to, a bit like you, have a love affair with Greece.
Yeah.
And I used to go island hopping on my own.
Did you?
So I'd just pack a bag, go off island hopping, I'd get to Athens and then to ferry to Poros, and then you could get loads of different ferries out and things. I mean, that was in the day when you could live on about 20 drachma a day or something, you know, so it was cheap. And I used to absolutely love it because one of the things I find going away with a partner particularly is it's not as easy to strike up conversations with other people. No. Depends what your partner's like. But I had one particular ex who just, it was a bit odd, let's just say. And he just didn't like to talk to other people.
So
he didn't like me to talk to other people because then he'd think he'd have to get involved and things. So what I loved about travelling on my own is that freedom.
Yeah.
To go where you like, when you like, do what you like, not have to get dressed up and go out for dinner every night, all that kind of rubbish. And just being able to strike up conversations with interesting people, because I'm still in touch with some of the people now that I met in those days.
That's fantastic.
So I have, and I've done a lot of work trips abroad on my own, where I've travelled on my own and with other people when I get there and doing retreats and stuff, but I've travelled on my own and I always try and get some time on my own, like tag a couple of days on the end or just go off on my own, because you usually get a day to yourself in between when you're doing things like that.
Yeah.
So I, for one, and I don't know whether that's got something to do with growing up on my own as an only child with a single parent, and just really being used to being on my own.
Yeah.
I have to have time on my own.
Me too.
I have to.
Yeah.
It's my healing thing. I get completely overwhelmed and a bit stressed if I'm with people for too long. Even my partner.
Yeah. No.
I have to go off and have time on my own.
I agree. And I think they need it as well. You know, you're lucky if you can be with someone all the time, and that's great. But we all need time out.
Yeah.
Whether it's you go and meet somebody else or you just think, I need my Netflix hour by myself, or me reading my book, or sitting outside, or driving in the car by yourself.
Yeah.
So I think for me as well, because twice a week I'm in the car on my own, and I love that, listening to the radio.
I do like that. Yeah, I used to get in my car and just go for a drive if I felt a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, now I tend to go for a walk. But I do, I have quite a few friends as well, still on the holiday, solo holiday subject, whose husbands are quite sporty.
Yeah.
And so they're always involved in, like, going on cycling holidays or a golfing holiday or a running thing or something or other. So the girls go on holiday on their own or with a couple of friends. So that happens a lot. And I've also got a friend whose mum was just recently widowed a couple of years ago, and she's just started going on cruises on her own. So there's all sorts of reasons, you know, divorce or having different interests to your partners or being widowed and all sorts of reasons why people might be.
Or like work schedules, some friends can't maybe get the time off at the same time.
Yeah.
I suppose if you were trying to think about it, just do like a long weekend by yourself, see how it went, and then go longer.
Yeah.
But I reckon the cruise would be good. I'd love us to go on a cruise together.
Yeah, cruises are safe, aren't they, if you're travelling on your own, I suppose, because you... you're with other people, but you can go off on your own, and there's activities if you want, but you don't have to get involved. Exactly. And then somebody's got you on a list, so they're making sure you're all right all the time.
Can't see if you've dropped overboard. Yeah. Where is she?
So, I suppose that would be a really good one to do.
I think if I was to ever do that, I would go that do that. But, so I think it was just, when I was watching these ladies, I was interested to find out if I thought I'd mention it on our next one, and here we are talking about it.
And here's another little segue.
Oh,
so these ladies that were on their own, were they reading books?
Right. No, they were all just having a meal.
Oh, interesting.
And I remember seeing one lady, because she was English, but she spoke very good Spanish, and she asked for a glass of rosé wine, because I like to check out what they're having. And she drank half of it, and then she came and she asked the waiter to come back. She didn't like it. So could she have something else? So she was having a liquid lunch, which is great. But for me, I'd be probably thinking, I'm going to be a bit of a... I'm always a bit careful. I'd think I'd drink, a soft drink, and then maybe if I was in a hotel, I'd have a drink and then go back to my room. But she was having a nice lunch, and then she was still there when we left, and she wasn't reading a book.
When I used to travel, I always used to take a book with me, just in case I felt... Well, two reasons.
Yeah.
In case I felt a bit awkward, usually eating on your own, I'd read a book. And then if I didn't want to speak to somebody that wanted to speak to me... I'd just bury my head in my book and as if to say, please go away.
Well, that's good now. You can just put headphones in, can't
you? Yeah, you can, yeah. And just point to them and go, sorry, I can't hear you.
With that, just let us know if you like holidaying solo.
And
we did want to talk about something else quickly, didn't we, that's coming up a lot in our group and in the media about the working and in the workplace, menopause in the workplace. And I think maybe we'll do a whole episode of that.
I think we'll have to do maybe an extra just around that, because it's a really, really big issue at the moment, and there still are not enough workplaces getting their heads around it and doing something about it.
Our
girls are struggling, and it's not fair.
It isn't. And when we think back to, for me personally, 7 years ago, and I was talking to a friend about this as well, because she was going through it at the same time, how we just carried on. We didn't take one day off with no sleep, continual night sweats like you wouldn't believe, palpitations, anxiety, thinking, I can't do my job, what am I doing, having the fog. But we didn't know what was happening. How did we not know 7 years?
Because there was no conversation about it then, which is why we started the podcast, wasn't it? I mean, it's everywhere now, thank goodness. But the whole reason we started it is because we just didn't know. There was no conversation. There was no information. The doctors didn't have anything to offer. And so, of course we didn't know. I think I've told you this before, and I might have told it even on the podcast, that because I was working for myself then, and I had to go at probably the peak of the worst of perimenopause, going through everything, that no energy, the potential prolapse that it was misdiagnosed with, and the sweats, and oh god, you name it, it was going on. I had to go to London for 2 days to speak on both days at a big event, and I kept thinking on the run up to it, I'm not sure I can even get on the train and go down there. How am I going to do this? I just don't know how I'm going to do this. And actually doing the talk, it was an hour.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you did this.
Which is a long time to be stood up doing, interactive thing, getting people doing things and that. And I could feel on the first day, the first one, I was all right till about kind of 20 minutes in. And then I could feel the heat rising, like it does up like a furnace.
Yeah.
And then you lose focus and concentration because you know it's coming.
Of course you do.
And you get a bit fearful.
Yeah.
And I couldn't carry on. I had to call a break and and I had to go outside and do some deep breathing and have some water and things. And I honestly don't know how I carried on even with that one, never mind the next day. I didn't know there was any option. I had to earn money. I had to do the job I was booked to do. You had to turn up at work. You had to do your job. And nobody was, it never occurred to me for a second to say to anybody, I'm menopausal. I might need to take breaks.
No.
Just didn't discuss it.
Well, we didn't, did we?
No.
I don't even still know how 7 or 8 years how we've managed to get through it all, to be honest.
No.
Well, the past 2 years, this has helped incredibly, hasn't it?
Yeah, this definitely has been a bit of the therapy, hasn't it?
But for the whole workplace, they definitely need to have something in place where if you wake up one day and you think, oh, God, I can't do it, I've got everything, no motivation, or even that feeling of your confidence has gone for
the
some
dread.
Reason. The dread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that wave. It's like a wave, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible. Every emotion that you've got, and you think, you should be able to ring your boss and say, listen, when can we have a day? Maybe you should be allowed, I don't know.
A menopause day.
A menopause day.
Like maybe once a month, or maybe once a month is too much. Start with one a quarter or something.
And you take it when you really know you've hit rock bottom that day. You might just need to stay in bed, do something nice for yourself, and it might pass. But I'll tell you what, it's if they're talking about it now in the papers big time because women are leaving the jobs, they can't do it, then the companies, there's massive companies out there, need to put something in place for this.
And I was just going to say that there need to be a handful of companies or sectors that lead the way with it.
Yeah.
And it's something we're really passionate about helping with, isn't it? And we're already talking to a couple of people about how we can support them with putting, because I've got business coaching experience, you've got experience with workplace and HR and all that kind of thing. That, and of course, we've got loads of experience of menopause and what's needed.
We've managed to
so we want to help people put something together, don't we?
Yeah.
Like a manifesto or some kind of policy or something, and then on a mission to get every company in the country doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we in Britain, I don't know about the other countries. Let us know, actually. Is it spoke about in your other countries? That'd be interesting to hear, because there is a handful of women over here who are quite celebrities, if you like, who talk about it a lot now. And we're on TV programmes about it, which is good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So I don't know what it's like over in... I don't know if you're listening in Spain or France or America, or is there people out there who are fighting your corner?
Yeah, is it as prominent as in the UK now, where we're starting to have conversations about it? What's it like in the workplace?
Yeah. There is one thing I'd say, though, because it's been talked about a hell of a lot, is that there's a shortage now of HRT.
Yeah.
And I'll quickly just say, from my experience, because I've started it 6 months ago and I was on the gel, the Sandrina gel, for 6 months, and when I had my checkup with the doctor, again over the phone, never face to face, you know, 2 minute call, and I just said, it's things are improving a bit, but I can't say I feel amazing. And she said, oh well, we'll up the dose, you've still got on your progesterone tablet.
I can't say it either, so I can't do it for you.
Progesterone. Or something.
What, you know what it is.
I know. It's a white and blue packet. Anybody knows that. And so anyway, the gel, she said there's a problem. There's a shortage of the gel.
Yeah.
And she actually asked me to ring round chemists, pharmacies in my area to see if
I know other women who've been asked to do that as well. It's outrageous.
And I thought, she said, well, if you can't have it, we'll put you on the patch and I'll give you a higher dose of the patch. So fast forward, no gel available, and I'm on the patch now. And I've gone up from, I'm on the Everell 50. Oh, if you can hear that rumbling, that's my tummy because I've not had anything.
We need brunch.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to keep this quick. But again, she didn't tell me this. I had to look online.
Yeah.
There's varying strengths of the patch, and there's a 25, which I'm presuming that was the equivalent of the gel that I was
right.
on. There's a 50, there's a 75, there's 100, and there's 125.
Ooh, that's so quite a big range, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? So I'm quite low. And I've been on this now 3 weeks, and again, my sleep's still absolutely shocking. That's why I've tried the CBD. But I don't know whether it's doing anything yet. So I'll keep you posted on the next one.
Well, we have got some, it's purely anecdotal at the moment. We're going to look into this more, aren't we? Some anecdotal evidence that because of all the profiling now and promotion around menopause and so many private doctors and clinicians specialising, that they are stockpiling HRT a bit for their private paying clients. Now, it's purely anecdotal. We don't want to accuse anybody of anything, so we are going to look into it more. But that's kind of the feedback we get. Now, that's a real shame if that's happening.
And
a real shame.
It does kind of make sense, really, because you could get hold of it last time.
And if you can afford to pay and you can get it, of course you would, wouldn't you, if you need it?
definitely.
So that just means the manufacturers need to step up and realise there's a higher demand, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I'm definitely keeping on it. And you have a bit of experience now with this because you've had this horrible rash, haven't you?
Still going on, still going on. I've managed to manage it myself with my own like holistic and herbal training and doing various things. I'll post in the private Facebook group what I've done with that, because I don't want to be telling people to or encouraging people to do that when it might not be right here. But yeah, it's still not gone. And yeah, just can't get, and I'm convinced from what I've been reading and my own research and proper medical papers and things that it's hormonal.
I can believe it is, you know.
But I can't get to talk to anybody about it, so just watch this space.
No, but this is it. You did have a scheduled call in, didn't you?
I did, and you can't write this stuff, can you? The doctor went off with COVID.
It's so shocking, honestly. So I will keep you posted on that.
I'll keep you posted on the skin thing and whether that is hormonal, because you might be experiencing something similar and not realising that it could be hormonal.
Yeah.
Should we leave on a lighter note? Any fog moments to share, darling?
Oh, my God. Now then, I wish you'd prepped me for this.
Shall I tell you mine while you have a think then? Because mine's a doozy. And I want to start by asking you a question first.
Oh, no.
So in your fridge, you know, you have the little thing in the door where your milk and your juice and whatever goes.
Yeah.
So do you always have things in the same order, in the same place?
Ish. Yeah, on the bottom is certain things. Yeah.
Yeah, in the door thing, you know, where your liquidy stuff goes. So I do. So it always goes because we have lacto-free milk. So we have lacto-free milk. I have oat milk, so that comes next. So there's lacto-free milk, oat milk. Then I always have some kind of water-based thing on the go, so some natural thing. So at this particular time, it was my nettle water.
Oh, right.
Because you can drink that, and I was putting it on my skin. So that's a little hint at one of the things I was doing.
Okay.
So that was next in my water bottle. Mm-hmm. And then comes the orange juice.
Right.
So you just do things without thinking, don't you? Well, you do when you're menopausal and in midlife. So I'm making a cup of tea, and I put my hand in the fridge to get the milk, and I'm listening to a podcast at the same time, like we're doing multitasking and everything. I thought, did I not shake that milk up? Because you have to shake oat milk, don't you?
No.
Doesn't look like it's coloured my tea very well. I tasted it. Ugh. I'd put orange juice in my tea because the orange juice was in the wrong spot. It was in the oat milk spot.
But you didn't even see that it was bright orange when you put it.
No, I didn't notice anything. I didn't notice the carton, because my oat milk carton is light blue and the orange juice was bright orange. No, I didn't notice anything. And then, of course, I don't know if you do this, but then I turn around and go,
yeah,
because there's only two of us in the house, but I go, who put that orange juice in the wrong place? Got to.
Yeah, you know what? Now you said that the other day, because I do this in the morning. If I'm going to work, I pull. Oh God, I am multitasking like you would not believe.
We've got to stop, haven't we?
When I do. So I'm getting a banana. I'm putting a bagel in the toaster, and then I'm going in the fridge for something, some cheese to chop up, putting some kitchen foil to take with me as well. And then I'm doing my inulin and my turmeric in a little thingy. I'm putting some ginger in. And I did actually do this at one point. I was going, I made those noises. Because I had a tablespoon of this inulin, and I was like, I didn't know what to do with it.
You didn't know where you were putting it?
There was a coffee cup. I was like, I'm not having coffee because I'm going to work, but where's my little glass? And there's my bagel being popped up from the toaster.
No, it's all happening at once.
And it was way too much for my little brain. But it was like that. I think, do things slowly.
Yeah, I'm like that in the morning because my dog has to have about 16 medications in the morning, bless him. So at the same time I'm doing my turmeric and apple cider vinegar and water and my nettle and whatever else I'm doing, I'm also, because he won't take medication, I've got to roll up bits of meat and put this liquid one in that and the tablet one in that.
And a bit, dog's food,
and I'm just like, oh. The number of times I've nearly taken the dog's tablets, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where I go, no, that's not my vitamin D and my ashwagandha. That's the dog's Cypheron and Cinequa.
Oh my god. God, girl.
Oh, I don't know what would happen to the dog if he took... Maybe it might work.
Yeah, you might get rid of your rash. Try one of his
tablets. Yeah, take some of his thyroid tablets.
Yeah, it's really weird when you do get too many things overloading your
brain. That's even more reason to just do nothing now and again, isn't it? And yeah. Then just, yeah, just feed things in slowly.
We're just going to start finishing off maybe with like a book we're reading or a telly that we're watching.
Yeah.
Or anything. Oh, and another thing we discussed last time, if anybody's watching our Instagram, is put your best on.
Yeah, get your best on.
Best clothes on. I wore a dress the other week and I said this on my thing, on my little blog, that it was a Saturday afternoon. We weren't going anywhere fancy, but it was very sunny in England, which is a very rare occasion on a Saturday. I'd just come out of COVID. And we were meeting some friends. In fact, we were meeting up with you, weren't we?
You texted me and said, we're here, what do you think? And I went, I'll be there in 10.
And I put this dress on and it was a halter neck, pink, flowery thing I got on holiday. And I thought,
I think you need to put a photo somewhere because, girls, it was gorgeous.
And I thought, oh, no, way too fancy. And I thought, no, it isn't. It's not. It's a special occasion because I'm well. I'm meeting really lovely people. It's sunny. Get it on.
Yeah.
And I had so many lovely compliments. And I thought to myself, this is it. Life's short.
Yeah.
Just get your best stuff on.
Yeah.
That's why we're saving it. You know, with things in our wardrobes that we were saving for maybe to go, to the theatre or go on a cruise. We're not doing those things.
We're not yet. No.
So put it on. That's my little upbeat thing at the end.
You inspired me with that. You definitely inspired me with that. I think that is that our new hashtag then? Get your best on.
Get your best on. Hashtag get your best on.
Spread it around, girls. Yeah. Get your best on. So, not vest, best.
No, you could get your best on.
We might need to get your best on soon. It's not thermal, don't worry.
Quick book I'm reading, which I'm really, really enjoying, is called, Judge's List, I think, by John Grisham. I do love a John Grisham book.
You do? You like John Grisham, don't you?
And you know what? The protagonists in it are all women, really. The main ladies who are fighting the case, and it's really, really interesting. So I'm loving that. And you've just read a really nice book.
I like a bit of... like magic, escapism, travel-y type stuff. So I've just read The Island of Missing Trees.
I like the idea of this.
And it was beautiful. And I promised you ages ago that I was going to start reading more fiction, escapist stuff, because all I've read for literally years and years is worky related things or spiritual development and stuff like that, which is still kind of worky related, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I am definitely going to try and read a book a month that is just pure escapism, and that was perfect.
Oh, that
it was
seems really, really lovely. Nice. I might have to really nice. Off you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? Should we leave it on that?
Let's leave it there on a light note.
A really nice chat, that. Yeah. I hope you've enjoyed it, girlies. And if you have, you know what? Just like and review. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and tell all your friends, please. Male and female. Get your blokes to listen to it as well, or your male friends. My kind of virtual brother listens to it, our partners listen to it, there's a few more guys getting on board with it now, so we need them to listen as well. It's not just for us. And we got a lovely message a couple of weeks ago, actually, for I think it's direct message, from a lady saying that she just hadn't been able to pluck up the courage to have a conversation with a partner about what menopause was doing to her. And she'd put the podcast on in the kitchen while she was cooking and asked him to listen to it with her, and it's transformed things. They're actually having conversations about it now.
So that's
lovely, isn't it?
It is. And I know our guys have listened to these a lot, and it's, I think at the beginning it really, really made them realise what we've been going through.
Because I don't think, we hadn't been able to articulate it because we didn't understand it ourselves, did we?
No.
But through doing this, we've been able to put it into words.
Yeah.
So, bring everybody along to listen.
Yeah, and if you do want to buy us a coffee, the link's in the show notes.
In the show notes.
Oh, listen to me, I'm not a professional. Like, I know what I'm talking about. That'd be so, so, God, and you always get a massive shout out. So if you did it, then podcast 18
would be the next one.
Could have your name at the beginning of it.
All right, lovely.
Next time.
You know it. Stay sane. Don't lose it. You've been listening to What the Fog, the podcast.
With me, Lulu.
And me, Michelle.
You've enjoyed the conversation. Invite your friends along to join in.
And share your What the Fog moments with us. You can email us at chat@whatthefog.com.
Or you can share with us on our Instagram at whatthefog. That's WOT_the_fog.
Or why not join our private Facebook group?
We're 100% self-funded, so if you've liked what you hear, maybe you would like to buy us a coffee. All donations go towards hosting.
All the links are in the show notes. So until next time,
stay sane.
Don't lose it.